Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1-3 and 7-day passes. Watch the Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you on this Monday morning. Talking Titans as they open up training camp this week. And to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Nick Suss from the Tennessean. Nick, good morning. How we doing?
I'm doing well. How are y'all?
Awesome, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. So, Nick, let's just start on the DeAndre Hopkins front. How do you think that changes the Titans' offense? What do you make of what that could do for Ryan Tannehill heading into this season?
I mean, it makes it better. There's probably no question there. You look at the trickle-down effect, and you don't just add a number one receiver. You make your number two receiver better as that trickles down from Kyle Phillips, Traylon Burks, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, until your fifth receiver is probably better, and that's good. It makes everybody on the team better. But you look at what one receiver can do, it's kind of unclear how much that can change a team. I think about last year, probably three of the five best receivers in the NFL changed teams. A.J. Brown made the Eagles 6 wins better. Devontae Adams joined the Raiders and they got 5 wins worse. Tyreek Hill joined the Dolphins and they had the same record year over year. So one receiver, it's almost impossible to say, oh yeah, he's going to make a team better. Oh yeah, the team's going to get the same. Like, you don't know. One player doesn't change a team as much as we tend to think it does. But I mean, I went back and rewatched every pass that was thrown to DeAndre Hopkins last year. And look, the Cardinals half the time were just having him run a 5-yard hitch and turn around. Like, he wasn't on the same plane of usage that he was during his days in Houston. If the Titans try and recapture that, try and use him over the middle the way that they used A.J. Brown and Corey Davis a couple of years back, yeah, you could see a world where he's good for 900 to 1,000 yards and Traylon Burks can back him up with 800 or so of his own. And if you go from 2 weeks ago, we thought the Titans' top two receivers were going to account for about 1,300 yards, and now we're thinking they could account for 1,700 or 1,800 yards. That's a pretty huge change over 2 weeks.
Yeah, I enjoyed that piece, Nick, and it's interesting. As you watched that, did you think, well, that's just basically their scheme? They were misusing him, or do you think it is any sort of commentary on, you know, his own skills diminishing at all?
It's interesting because, like, I watched the plays where they let him loose, and it didn't seem like he was any less explosive. I mean, you can go back through 3 years of stats, and I think they threw him 32 passes over the middle 10 yards deep in 3 seasons, and that's roughly what he averaged per season in Houston. So I think it is schematic. I think that Cliff Kingsbury just didn't throw the ball over the middle all that much, and I think back to one play in his first game against the Saints where I'm sitting in our office baffled thinking, what the heck is this formation? Why is DeAndre Hopkins running a trip set tight to the line of scrimmage with two tight ends and a tackle off the line of scrimmage? Like, I don't functionally understand what they're doing here. It's not going to be that translatable, what he did last year compared to what he'll do this year. But the dude was still making one-handed catches. The dude was still able to body up somebody like Jalen Ramsey, a guy, when he was given one-on-one opportunities, took the best of them. The problem is most of his catches were he was hit immediately, and that's really tough to gauge what a receiver has when all he's doing is catching the ball and going to the ground.
Nick Suss from the Tennessean with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, Nick, given that Hopkins is now in the fold, You got Treylon Burks heading into year two, et cetera, as you've laid out there. What do you think fair expectations should be for Ryan Tannehill this year? As he'll be 35 years old, and obviously we know that they drafted Will Levis, and he could be the starter as soon as 2024. What do you expect from Tannehill there, given what's now around him on the offensive side of the ball?
You got to expect him to at least take a step back forward. You have to, I mean, if you are projecting how good this team can be, it seems like the front office and the coaches are betting that given the right supporting cast, Ryan Tannehill can be as good as he was at the very least in 2021. And if everything goes perfectly in 2019 or 2020, now it's tough to gauge how good he'll be because, again, last year's decline happened for so many different reasons. I don't think his efficiency ever went down, and that's obviously the thing that Mike Vrabel preaches the most about the passing game is you want it to be efficient. You want to take advantage of the opportunities you take, and I think that if you look at things like adjusted net yards per attempt and the efficiency metrics, I don't think his decline was as precipitous as it was made out to be. So maybe you would think that with the rejuvenated receiving core and when he's not playing on a bum ankle and when the offense isn't running the ball straight into the line of scrimmage on first and second down every play, maybe he can have this rejuvenation. But also, you never know when the cliff's going to come. Russell Wilson experienced it last year. Sometimes quarterbacks just aren't who they are as they get older. And there's a chance that you'll get better. Treylon Burks is going to be much improved. DeAndre Hopkins is obviously an upgrade over Robert Woods. You have all this stuff to help him out, but at the end of the day, he's going to have to be the one that makes the plays.
Talking to Nick Suss, Titans beat writer for the Tennessean. So, Nick, what's your read now on the Kevin Byard, you know, contract situation, how it ended up, and, you know, I guess do you look any differently now back at the previous attempt to get him to take a pay cut?
I don't think this reveals too much about KB. I think that most of us know dude wants the Titans to succeed, and it's easier to approach him and say, hey, will you restructure your contract if we're bringing in DeAndre Hopkins versus, hey, will you restructure your contract because we want money? The tangibility of this signing versus this restructure, I think, does make it a little bit more understandable that he'd be willing to say, well, yeah, I'll do it for this. And I mean, if you look at the over-the-cap projections for what the contract are, or contract is rather, it's not a true pay cut. There is true restructure in there. There's incentives. There are bonuses. This is much more like a way to say you're going to get your money, but we're moving it around than it would have been a true, we're going to reduce your salary from $12 million to $8 million or whatever it would have been. But no, I look back on it and you give the team as much credit as you can for trying it. It probably wasn't the best move in the moment, but I think Byard has more or less handled it with quite a bit of grace, and now the team is trying to get better, and I think he's always going to be the person who's most on board with that.
So, Nick, as you look at the defensive side of the ball for this team, what are maybe one or two of your biggest question marks on defense as they head into camp?
I'm very interested to see who the secondary depth is, especially if Caleb Farley's on the pop list and Josh Thompson's on the non-injury or non-football injury list. You don't really have a true third safety. You have Elijah Molden who might be able to try there behind Kevin Byard and Amani Hooker. And then you have guys like Trey Avery and Shaheem Carter and some players that maybe aren't the most veteran who could maybe move over and try some safety, try some backup cornerback. I think that between Sean Murphy Bunting and Christian Fulton and Roger McCreary and then obviously Byard and Hooker, you have a pretty solid gauge of who your five DBs are on the field. But we saw last season that the house of cards, when you lose one player in the secondary, can really, really hurt a team. And that's the, if I'm looking at a weak spot on this defense, I like what the pass rush has now that Harold Landry's coming back and Arden Key is available. I obviously like a unit that has Jeffrey Simmons and Danico Autry and Tierre Tart. I think they did their best to fix the inside linebacker room, but this was a secondary that was 32nd in the NFL in passing yards allowed per game last year. And I know that so much of that relates to the way they stopped the run last year, but you can't ignore that teams threw all over them, and they fixed it by bringing in one secondary player. So I'm curious to see if the fixes to the players that were already on the roster are going to be enough.
What about kicker? Who's going to be the kicker? Do you feel like either of those guys looks to you like possibly the Titans' long-term kicker of the future?
They could. I mean, long-term kicker is such an oxymoron because of the way teams shuffle through these guys. I watched them in training camp. I know you're in camp. I know you guys were out there too. And just look, Trey Wolf looked like he had a big leg. I thought that it was impressive that he was able to kick from distance, but I've never seen him kick with a rush coming at him. And Caleb Shudak, we've only seen it the one time. I think these guys were both productive college kickers, and so much of that position is mental. So if one of them wins the job at a camp and they come out and they're 5 for 5 against the Saints, well, good for you. You're going to keep kicking until you start missing. And if you don't, there are probably a dozen veterans who have kicked in the NFL who the Titans are going to be able to try out in September and October, and they might be able to bring somebody in the next couple of weeks too. So they'll figure this position out. I can't pretend I'm some kicking expert who can tell you about the torque of the leg and the knee and all this stuff that you need, but they both looked like they were pretty good at kicking the ball into a net in May.
Okay, we'll take it at this point. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Nick Suss, our guest here on Robbie and Rex. So Nick, great stuff, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us, and looking forward to getting camp started this week. We'll talk soon.
Yeah, excited for it, man. Thanks.
Absolutely. Nick Suss from the Tennessean, our guest. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. We'll react to what Nick had to say there as well. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
Well, that's just basically their scheme. They were misusing him, or do you think it is any sort of commentary on, you know, his own skills diminishing at all?
It's interesting because, like, I watched the plays where they let him loose, and it didn't seem like he was any less explosive. I mean, you can go back through 3 years of stats, and I think they threw him 32 passes over the middle 10 yards deep in 3 seasons, and that's roughly what he averaged per season in Houston. So I think it is schematic. I think that Cliff Kingsbury just didn't throw the ball over the middle all that much. And I think back to one play in his first game against the Saints where I'm sitting in our office baffled thinking, what the heck is this formation? Why is DeAndre Hopkins running a trip set tight to the line of scrimmage with two tight ends and a tackle off the line of scrimmage? Like, I don't functionally understand what they're doing here. It's not going to be that translatable, what he did last year compared to what he'll do this year. But the dude was still making one-handed catches. The dude was still able to body up somebody like Jalen Ramsey. The guy, when he was given one-on-one opportunities, took the best of them. The problem is most of his catches were he was hit immediately. And that's really tough to gauge what a receiver has when all he's doing is catching the ball and going to the ground.
That was Nick Suss from the Tennessean on with us in the last segment. Appreciate him taking time to come on with us. Robbie and Rex Road streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook, live from our 102.5 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. So what did you make of what Nick Suss had to say about DeAndre Hopkins? As he brought up, he went through basically every pass that Hopkins was thrown last year with the Cardinals. What did you make of what his takeaway was there on Hopkins? How much maybe he still has left in the tank, and how he was used last year in Arizona?
Yeah, it's a good. It was a good idea by him, and it's interesting. And yeah, I mean, the easy thing to do would be like, Kingsbury's an idiot. You know, I mean, I mean, obviously, he's an interesting guy. Didn't turn out so well for him. You'd think that he would have an idea of how to use DeAndre Hopkins. I mean, DeAndre Hopkins had terrific numbers in that same offense. Previously, before he started having like his own issues, so I don't know. I mean, does that speak to, because again, those issues could also be part of that decision making, right? Those issues include different injuries and you know, the suspension, the missed time, and all that stuff. Was it like, well, DeAndre just doesn't have that same explosion, so what he's gonna, you know, he'll catch everything. Give him the ball, let him see if he can, you know, run through a tackle, just get the ball out fast. I mean, I don't know. I don't know why that would be the approach. As Nick just said, whenever he did go downfield a little bit more, he still looked explosive. And you can find footage from last year where he looked pretty good to me, but you can find footage from 2020 where Julio Jones looked amazing too. So I don't know.
Well, that's the thing. It goes quick on you in this league. So, you know, how much of how are the Titans going to use him? I guess that's the interesting question. Like, is he going to be a guy that they try to go downfield to? Is that going to be more of the Treylon Burks part of this? Is he's the downfield weapon? You know, is DeAndre Hopkins basically like a possession receiver at this point in his career? I mean, he's always been a possession receiver to some degree, but he can do pretty much everything in his prime. So I really am interested to see how they use him this year and maybe what a commentary that is on the skill set that he has remaining in his game at this point at 31 years old.
Yeah, you know, it's with some of his just strength and his ability to go get the ball, the catch radius, love that term.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you can still send him downfield. He doesn't necessarily have to, you know, get 2 yards of separation and run past everybody to still make plays downfield. But I do think, actually, that for the most part, he's going to get the ball quicker. You know, I mean, I think it's going to be more shorter and intermediate stuff for him. And Burks projects as, although Burks is also a guy you want to get the ball to quickly, because I think Burks with the ball in his hands is dangerous, but I think he'll probably be more of the field stretcher.
What do you think of what Nick had to say about the secondary there? Because we talked about this before. They did rank dead last in the league last year in terms of passing yardage allowed. Now, some of that, I think, was because teams just eventually stopped trying to run the ball on the Titans because of how good they were against the run. But to Nick's point, like, you can't just ignore that teams were able to put up those numbers passing the ball down the field against the Titans last year. So as you look at this group heading into camp in the secondary, how concerned are you by the secondary? What do you make of what they've got in the secondary right now? How do you view how the Titans sit today as we sit here in training camp based on the players that we know are available for them in camp, which does not include Caleb Farley, by the way?
Right. Yeah, Caleb Farley, PUP, Dylan Radins, PUP, and then Josh Thompson, who, like Nick said, is one of those secondary depth guys as non-football injury list. I think it's a good point by Nick. Those numbers still surprise me. Like, it still, to me, doesn't totally match up with what we saw last year. I thought the Titans in a lot of games, like, you know, in 2020, yes. In 2020, again, we're talking about, what, the worst third down defense ever.
Yeah.
And
I think has since been broken by somebody, but yes.
Is that right?
I believe so.
Did someone beat that?
I believe somebody beat it. I can't remember who it was.
Wow. Impressive. So, like, that year, and they had zero pass rush. Like, last year, I don't know. I didn't watch the Titans and think, my God, are they awful on defense? Or they have no chance of stopping this passing game. Think about the game at Kansas City. That did not look like the worst pass defense in the league. It looked like the best pass defense in the league. That's what's so weird about last year, and it's the numbers, you know, related to the defense.
Well, they gave up some huge plays early last year in the passing game, and by they, I mean a lot of it was Caleb Farley. Like, I think about the Bills game, gave up the huge play in that game. The Washington game gave up the huge play in that game.
Yep.
And then really after that, both from a performance standpoint and then eventually from an injury standpoint, he wasn't on the field all that much anymore. And to your point, like, I don't really remember, like, it wasn't like the Titans just got shelled after that. Now, I do remember Evan Engram walking in here with the Jags and having like 200 yards in that game last year.
Yeah.
They gave up some huge individual performances, like T. Higgins at the end of the game here in Nashville had a big game against the Titans. So they gave up some big plays and some big performances. But I guess I don't really remember it just looking around and saying, man, that Titans secondary is just absolutely atrocious.
Right, like the Bills, you know, lit them up. That was a disaster of a game. But think about some of the teams that were good at passing that did, like, you know, like the Raiders, you know, didn't do a ton. I mean, the Bengals. That's not like Burrow came in here and torched them at all. Yeah, there's some of those games. I mean, they go to the Chargers. They give up the big play late on the great rollout, you know. But you know, they give up 17 points. I mean, and also, by the way, through all that, and they did a great job in the finale against the mighty Jaguars. So through all that, they're also, as usual, just putting in different parts and trying to make it work with like replacement players in a lot of spots. So I actually think that there's reason for optimism for the secondary, hashtag if healthy. I mean, Molden coming back. Is he back? Is he going to play? Christian Fulton dedicated to not continuing his injury trend. Is that going to work?
Hooker, he's hurt all the time last year.
That's true. We don't talk about Hooker and his injuries a lot, but he got a second deal, and he's not been able to be out there. So I think if they have the crew, I think they could be really good, especially, of course, if it's paired with a pass rush. I don't like, you know, and I think they at least – I think they have, and we're just discounting Farley. I mean, if Farley is any sort of factor ever for this team, that to me is just that's just a bonus. I mean, he's a guy who's just trying to hang on and continue to be an NFL player. But you add Murphy Bunting, who I think is a solid player, and McCreary, I like him for sure. I think McCreary is going to be good. You at least have, I mean, even Chris Jackson coming back. Chris Jackson's not a great player, but he's a veteran. He knows what to do. They love him in the locker room. He was hurt all last year. But that's a guy you can plug in and, like, you know, he can be fine. So I think at least they have, like, some depth now, Trey Avery, to be able to handle an injury or two and not fall apart.
That corner. What about safety?
Yeah. Well, that's a good question. In fact, so I guess I'll have to – I've not published – and I won't until tomorrow, but I've gone through the 53.
Oh, boy.
So, actually, I don't remember. I mean, I Josh Thompson was definitely a guy that I was kind of penciling in. So now he's on NFI. Now, who knows how long that'll be? I still think there's a decent chance that by the end of camp, he's on that team. How much is Molden considered a safety? Chris Jackson also, by the way, again, he's a guy who has given this team a lot of pretty good football. He's a guy who could go back there. So you have two corners in Molden and Jackson who could go back and help that. They have Mike Brown, too. Maybe Molden transitions this year, you know, to become more of a safety. I don't know. I think – but if not, then, yeah, you're definitely worried about – well, Shaheem Carter, too, by the way.
Yep.
Shaheem Carter, who – you know, so, I mean, right now, you know, I mean, Carter, is Mike Brown good enough to – you know, to stay on this team? Like, I don't know for sure. Very much a huge downgrade, no matter who it is that makes the team, if either of those starters get hurt. Just a big – and look, a lot of NFL teams have that in a lot of spots where if you lose your starter, you're – but the Titans have some decent depth in other spots and not there.
Tune in for Nashville Sounds Baseball tomorrow at 5:35 on 94.9 The Fan. Sounds taking on the Norfolk Tides, the AAA affiliate of the Baltimore Orioles. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by 312 Pizza Company, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Family Leisure. We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans, some of those to get to on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll also get into the rest of the AFC. How do the Titans stack up with this conference? What are the most intriguing storylines heading into training camp this year? We'll get into all that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty, where their advanced pay by TJ option can save you thousands when selling your home. Tune into the Chase McCabe Show and Caroline, Willie, and D-Mates this Wednesday and Friday as they broadcast live from Titans training camp. They'll get player interviews and deliver the latest updates with Titans practice as the team preps for the 2023 season. Coverage of Titans training camp presented by the Simmons Bank Open and Parman Energy. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Luke on the text line says, I'm not the foremost expert on defensive back coaches, but I feel like the new guy is going to have to be an upgrade, right? This is from Luke on the text line. I assume referring to Chris Harris?
Chris Harris, yep. Yeah. Well, Chris Harris definitely
not of Channel 4, but of the Titans.
That's right. Yes, that's right. We need Chris Harris interviewing Chris Harris.
Yes.
This season, what we need. Yeah, certainly bringing back the Kerry Coombs sort of feel out there. He is excitable. He brings energy to the practice field, and hey, I think that's great. You know, I mean, it's good to have. Good to have. Hear some voices out there. He's extremely energetic and excitable, and a guy who is pretty attractive out there to other teams. So, might be a 1 year thing, and then a defensive coordinator opportunity for him. But yeah, I mean, I think that's another thing to consider when we talk about the defensive backs.
So when you look around the AFC right now, we've talked so much about the division and the Titans and the Jags and all those things. This is a really intriguing conference to me as a whole this year. There's the quarterback part of it with Mahomes and Burrow and Allen and those guys. Now Aaron Rodgers joining the mix. I look out west, and the Broncos to me are really intriguing because, look, I look at their wide receiver group. I think there's a lot of talent there. They've got a good defense. Sean Payton is coming in. I think he's a good head coach. What is Russell Wilson going to be at quarterback this year? Is this a reclamation project that Sean Payton – can come in and fix Russell Wilson, or was last year just kind of what he is at this point, and the Broncos are having to deal with that? Jimmy Garoppolo passed his physical heading into camp, so he's going to be the quarterback in Vegas this year with Davante Adams and those guys. So some intriguing teams out west. In the north, you've got the Browns with Deshaun Watson, who apparently, according to reports, looks pretty good so far. So we'll see what happens there. Odell Beckham joining the Ravens. I mean, there's a ton of story. I haven't even gotten to the East yet with the Dolphins and the defense that they have, and obviously with the Jets and all those things. So this is, to me, an incredibly intriguing conference as a whole heading into this year. And trying to identify exactly where the Titans stack up with some of these other teams is going to be, number one, it's difficult right now, but number two, really interesting. Beyond just their own division, which is the most important part, can you find a way to win this thing and beat out Jacksonville for the division this year? This whole conference and where the Titans stack up is really interesting because a lot of it just comes back to the quarterback position.
Yeah, it's a fascinating conference. I mean, the only two teams that I personally, I know a lot of people are going to put the Titans in this category, and maybe some people would put, the Broncos or the Patriots, but the only two teams that I feel like you can just rule out of the playoffs are the Texans and Colts, and they're interesting. I mean, Anthony Richardson, it's not like the Colts have no talent. What if Anthony Richardson is a rookie sensation? I don't know. Then all of a sudden, that changes that. I mean, I think the Texans, you feel pretty good about them being pretty bad. But, C.J. Stroud, I mean, it's – so they're starting timelines with their rookie QBs, and all around – everybody else has a hope of – I mean, are the Pittsburgh Steelers going to be good with Kenny Pickett? Is he good? Like you said, Russell Wilson – I look at the Russell Wilson situation. This is another great test of how much coaching matters to a quarterback. I mean, like Josh Allen. So Brian Daboll goes to the Giants. All of a sudden, Daniel Jones is able to get a big deal, even though he's not that good. And Josh Allen starts to look mortal again when last year I thought Josh Allen was going to be the MVP for the Super Bowl champion. Well, it turns out Brian Daboll seems to be pretty important. So Sean Payton go in, all of a sudden it's like, oh, there's Russell Wilson. Because, boy, did he look bad, and they looked bad last year.
Yeah, they looked terrible. And that, I mean, we thought that had the chance heading into last year to be, on paper, maybe the best division that we'd ever seen. And now I kind of look at the East, and I think, okay, Buffalo, we know what they are. They're pretty good. Miami, with their defense, with Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle. If Tua is able to stay healthy, which is a gigantic if, they should be pretty good. I look at the Jets, and all kidding aside with Rodgers, like if Rodgers is close to what he was a couple of years ago with that defense and with some of the weapons they have offensively, they got a chance to be pretty good. I mean, to your point, I would say right now the Patriots are a distant fourth in that division. The Colts and the Texans shouldn't be very good this year. We'll wait and see what happens there. Like in the West, I don't think Denver is going to be winning the division. I think it's going to be Kansas City and the Chargers again in that discussion. And the Raiders have Jimmy G as quarterback. But like the North, Like, what happens if Kenny Pickett is pretty good and they take that step forward this year? What happens if Deshaun Watson, given everything that's gone on with him off the field, is now more comfortable in Cleveland? Well, you've talked about that roster. They got a pretty good roster in Cleveland. What if Deshaun Watson is closer to the Deshaun Watson we saw at the end of his time in Houston on the field? What does that mean for that division and what they could be? Lamar Jackson and the Ravens, I think they're incredibly intriguing heading into this year with Odell Beckham coming in there. And then, of course, you've got Cincinnati in that division. I mean, there are a lot of divisions that you look at in the AFC, and the AFC South's not one of them. But you can make an argument that the rest of them are, that you look and say, man, you could have three or four playoff-caliber teams in all those divisions.
Yeah, I think the AFC North could potentially be the best division in football, potentially. But also, I don't know on Pickett and the Steelers exactly. I think they're going to be solid. And the Ravens, you know, I mean, I worry about their defense. There's a certain – with both those teams, Ravens and Steelers, like there's a certain level of quality you just expect, those two coaches and just what they've done over time. But I actually think the Ravens, if things break well for them, could be a contender. Like they are right below the line of contenders. And I think they could battle the Bengals for the division. And then, like you said, the Browns, a lot of talent. Highest priced talent
yep.
in the league, and yeah, Watson. I mean, it's such a fascinating conference. And then you look over the other side, and it's like, are the Lions good? I mean, you know, are the Eagles going to win it again? Are the Lions good? People think the Lions are good. I mean, there's storylines on the other side, of course, but it is woefully behind the AFC to me.
Maddie on the text line says, God help us all if Richardson is otherworldly. Stillman will be impossible to listen to. This is from Maddie on the text line. Wouldn't that be something?
There'll be some melting down.
Richardson just comes out this year and lights it up for Indianapolis.
Yeah, what I think will probably happen is that probably some weeks, you know, he'll have some big plays that maybe win games for them, you know. But I don't know. You would think that there'd be some growing pains, and I don't think that they're going to be contending for a playoff spot. But, I'm much more interested in watching the Colts than I have been in a long time. I mean, really, since, like, Luck was – obviously, the Colts have been good, and the Titans and Colts have had a good rivalry. But, like, just the Colts on an average Sunday, now I'm interested.
Oh, yeah.
Because of him.
How much pressure is on the Chargers this year, do you think, to – they get in the playoffs last year. They lose the first game to Jacksonville after getting off to the huge lead, and then Trevor Lawrence comes storming back, and Jacksonville wins. How much pressure is on Justin Herbert, Brandon Staley, that whole organization to actually make some noise this year and get things done? Because if they do what they've done the last couple of years, which is not really anything, I mean, they're a factor in the regular season, and then a couple of years ago they didn't make the playoffs, they choked it away, and then last year they were up huge. They had like 24, 21 in the playoff game last year.
24 nothing, right?
I think so. And then choked that one away. So how much pressure do you think is on them heading into this year?
Yeah, a ton. I mean, Staley for sure. I thought that he might be in trouble anyway. He has to be in trouble now, right? He has to be.
Think.
I mean, I would say he's got to be.
See, the number
it was
one
27. It was 27 nothing.
27.
27 nothing and lost 31-30. Nice job. Yeah, he's. I mean, it's. Because obviously their roster is very good, and Herbert's very good, but I think Herbert gets a little bit of the great quarterback applied to him a little bit prematurely at this point. But Staley in particular, you know, I'm all for analytics and, you know, zigging,
charts.
Zagging when people think you're going to zig or whatever. But yeah, sometimes, come on, man, you use a little bit of common sense.
I forgot it was 27-0. Good gracious.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I had some tweets about that on – or some X's. I don't know. I had some X's about that on X.
Yes. Could we be getting a Rex rant on X? I feel like one's been building all morning.
An X rant?
Yeah.
Is it time for an X rant?
No, maybe so.
Maybe.
Maybe so. And then, of course, we go through all these teams and we just kind of like brush past Kansas City because it's like, yeah, well, it's Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City and Andy Reid, and they'll be right there back in the mix again this year. I mean – like Travis Kelce, I mean, at some point, how old is Travis Kelce now? He's got to be like 33. He's 33. He'll be 34 in October. Like at some point, he's got to slow down, right? You think? maybe at some point?
Yeah, I mean, I guess. Again, a year ago, in tandem with talking about the greatest division ever, I know I'm sure I could find some funny little audio clips of me saying, hey, take Tyreek Hill away from Mahomes. I just don't know. He's great, but, you know, what does that mean?
There were some people heading into the year last year talking about Kansas City being the fourth best team in that division.
Okay, I need to hear that. But you're right. I mean, the Broncos were that was the earth shaking move was the Broncos and Russ.
Yeah,
and it just goes to show you, it just doesn't always work out that way. And you know, good point by Nick too. Nick Suss earlier about the receivers. Now, I still would say that Tyreek Hill made a huge impact with the Dolphins, and that the bottom line would not have been the same. But to his point, what does one player mean? Well, tell me what the Titans offensive line is going to do. Tell me what Burks, you know, tell me who's healthy, all that stuff. I still say that Hill made a huge impact in Miami, and that obviously
AJ.
Obviously AJ.
Devontae Adams, yep.
He made but the thing is, yeah, that's the thing. I still believe that Devontae Adams with Jimmy G, I mean, they could be decent. They could be surprising.
By the way, Travis Kelce, 7 straight years, 1,000 yards receiving at tight end. 7 straight.
It's amazing when you think about that organization with Tony Gonzalez and now him.
I know.
I mean, that is tight end you.
It is. It's unbelievable. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Coming up next, it is time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning at 745. We will do that next. Corey Curtis coming up at 8 o'clock. All that ahead. This is Robbie and Rexroad, 1025-1063, the game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment. Let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Oh, this is so frustrating.
He's kind of ugly, though.
It is that time of the day, time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road. You can check it out every morning at 7:45 here on the program. I forgot how much I love this Tennessee Oilers song. Even more so now that the throwback jersey has come out.
Yeah.
I should play this Tennessee Oilers song every week this year with the Titans.
I mean, personally, if you could just swap out, again, I love Johnny Cash, okay? But I'd swap this in with the going into the fourth quarter song.
Come on, yeah.
Right?
A little Brooks and Dunn. Tennessee, I mean, Oilers?
It's a little bit more upbeat, you know, get people excited for the fourth quarter.
I had no clue about this song. Like, one day I was installing cabinets with my dad. He's like, you got to check out this Tennessee Oilers song. I was like, okay, here it is.
Nice. So that's some good branding. I will go ahead and say, because we talked about it earlier, but I will just raise my hand and say yes. Twitter decided to call itself X now. I don't know what this means, but it's stupid. Is it Twitter X?
I just see X.
It's just X.
I just see X.
Why would you do that? Like,
I don't know what to call my tweets now.
Right. X exclamations.
Ooh, maybe so. Maybe we're working with something.
So stupid. You took something that was like a really good brand and like the whole world used it. And I understand that younger people prefer this or that, but
TikTok.
Yeah, that's fine, but I mean, it was a pretty good thing, and now X.
I saw this yesterday. I thought it was fake, so I just kind of went on about my day, and then turns out it's not fake. That's what they're going. It's going to be X instead of Twitter.
I'm trying to think of like a comparable just brand.
We talked about
brand
so
annihilation.
Much.
I mean, this is like taking over Tennessee football in 2008, you know, like
pre-Brady Hoke text messages. Yeah,
I mean, it's like I'm trying to, like, is there something that compares to this in terms of taking a great brand and then just totally eviscerating it? So if anybody has any ideas, let me know. But actually, I wanted to complain about something else today.
Okay,
I want to be careful here because this is for the sports parents. And as you guys know, I rant a lot about sports parents things and also technology things. This is a combination of those two.
Okay.
Right.
Now, I want to be careful here because I'm not complaining about anything currently, but it has inspired me. Okay.
Okay.
So because one of my kids in a league, and so this happened. But when this happened, and part of it is because my phone is so full, I really thought about it. I'm like, why must we do this? Why must we have an app for every league now that your kid's in? Yeah, I'm not complaining. I'm looking at the global situation of we must have an app as opposed to just like, can we just have emails or a text line like practices at this time? Yeah. I'm telling you, everything has to be an app.
Yeah.
It's got to be the blah, 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 blah app or the doobity doobity app, you know, and let's put all the stuff in the app. Because here's the problem. Then I've missed stuff, and this has happened several times this year to me. So it's on me.
No push notifications.
It is. I know, and that's the thing. I don't do notifications. Should I do notifications? I probably should. Do you guys do notifications? Like, do you guys do notifications on, I mean, not Twitter, X? Do you do X notifications?
I try to keep notifications to a bare minimum on everything that I have.
So do I. I just basically auto-default no notifications. So it's my fault that I've missed some things where, like, practice time was changed over. But also, like, I'm just like, if we just had a text thread with the parents and coaches,
yeah, like,
or
I'll see
emails,
that.
Then I'm guaranteed to see it. Yeah. And again, it's like space on my phone. So most of this is like all my issues. But I do ask the question, why must we have an app for every different league and sport that your kid's in?
Hey, I'm just here so I won't get fined.
It's a great question. I mean, we even, for like SEC Media Day stuff last week, had an app. I was like, oh, okay. That's fun.
There you go. Anything you do now, any bowl game that I've covered now, it's like get the Orange Bowl game app. No, just what time is the stupid press conference? Is the buffet open? I should get notifications about that. You know, oh, we got to
have something that's not in this NCAA water cup over here. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, there you go. Fresh vat of hash browns. That I would get notifications for that.
There would be push notifications on for that.
If there's other sports parents out there who have the same thought, it's like, you know, I think back in the day, it's just kind of like, I don't know, I guess you called people?
You call people? We used to have, like, when we were playing baseball, we would have a rainout number. So, like, the coaches never really even told us that our games were rained out. You just called the rainout number at the Hendersonville Parks Department. You're like, oh, well. Says the field's closed. Can't go out there today. I guess we're not practicing.
That's like the days of like 800 numbers for anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So maybe a middle ground between the rain out number and push notifications on the app for everything.
But we got through it. We figured it out. You know, and people, by the way, are absolutely right, of course. And this is, yeah, Greg says, old man yelling at clouds app. That's a good idea for me. Yeah, Coca-Cola, of course, right? I mean, that's for anybody, and you guys would not know this, but in the summer of 1985, when they came out with freaking new Coke, my God.
I heard about this.
Hey!
I was not alive for it.
Here's guess what? It tastes like Pepsi. Oh, great.
Because that's
I don't
what we
like
want.
Pepsi. I like Coke. Yeah, that was, I mean, obviously it was such a disaster that, like, within months, it's like, here's, okay, Coca-Cola Classic.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's all anybody drank. And then eventually they just kind of phased out the quote-unquote new Coke.
Yeah.
So that's a great example. But they didn't ruin the brand, right? Like, basically, it's 85, 86. By the late 80s, life was back to normal. We could all enjoy Coca-Cola. Not the old formula that had, like, cocaine in it in, like, 1902. But, you know, like the formula for most of our lives. Yeah, yeah. But that's a good example, everybody. Thank you.
Do you think that one day, who knows? You'll download the X app. Are they going to change the Twitter app to the X app? You'll have it on an app.
I don't know. I mean, let me look at my phone
right now.
Still
has the Twitter logo.
X? It still has the Twitter logo. It doesn't just have X.
No.
But it has a little X over the thing now. It's over your timeline or whatever you want to call it. So, and as LD says, you know, what would parents? Yeah. Exactly right. What would parents and kids do if they had to go back to the 80s? I can remember my team's practice and game schedule stuck to the refrigerator. Can we please go back? So, again, it's like it's great that we can communicate in real time, and it's like, hey, rain or, work, so let's do practice a little bit later, whatever. Yeah. Oh, three kids can't make it today because they have other stuff. Okay. I mean, it is great. I mean, I couldn't go back. None of us could because we're so used to that convenience. I'm just saying – And again, this is largely because I'm an old man with an old phone. I have an iPhone 7, okay? So it makes fun of me. I know. And so I have no space. So, like, I have to download another app. I'm like, ah, so what app do I get rid of now? Well, actually, I know what app I probably should get rid of, don't I? We've talked it through, folks. We know what app
We've brought it all full circle.
If I got rid of that app on my phone, I would have a ton of space. Right?
Probably.
Wow.
You check your storage.
Thank you.
Joe, you can pay $1 a month for extra space. You know that, right? I'm just letting you know.
I don't.
But
I don't know that I want to know that.
Okay. Well, there you go.
Wait. Is this true? Dennis says Netflix briefly changed their name to Quickster.
I don't remember that, but that doesn't mean it's not true.
Dennis, are you messing around?
When was that?
Quickster?
Was it around the same time that IHOP became IHOB?
Now I'm thinking of Napster.
Oh, I forgot about that, too.
Wait, what?
Yeah, it went for like a day.
International House of what?
No, it was for a while. Like, I thought it was for like at least a month or two.
What was the B?
I don't remember.
A burger.
House of Burgers.
It was International House of Pancakes and Burgers. No, it was a legit thing because when I was in college, that was advertised everywhere.
Yeah, I forgot about that. And then they just basically were like, oh, no, crap. That's right. People like pancakes. That's a good one, too. Good call. Okay, so we got two. I don't know where we ended up, but anyway, just X me. Just X at me, and we can talk about it on X.
Yes, please do.
Bit of misery. Dilly dilly.
By the way, some quick breaking news in the NFL before we get to Corey Curtis. Tom Pelissero put this out there. Bills running back Nyheim Hines suffered a significant knee injury off-site and is expected to miss the entire 2023 season. Sources tell him and Ian Rappaport.
Unbelievable.
So an off-site knee injury. I don't know exactly what that means, but apparently no Nyheim Hines for the 2023 season.
Well, that sucks. That's too bad for him. And it continues the trend of, you know, running backs, but even just like players, like they barely ever tackle in practice anymore, but then they somehow find a way to get hurt more.
Yeah.
I feel like that's how it feels.
And off site. I guess that's not even in the building. You've hurt your knee. So not good for the Bills and for Nyheim Hines. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Corey Curtis from News 2. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans. Get your thoughts as well, 615-737-1025 on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.